Sparkles.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be changed.
Hello.
How was your travel?
It was good. It was very good.
Very good.
Good to be back home.
So the recording sounded. I'll call another one.
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Dr. Walker. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Dr. Walker. Hi, Candlestick.
Oh, maybe I thought somebody sound like her.
Testing 1, 2, 3. I'm going to try something. I may hang up and call back in. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me? Can anyone hear me? Can anyone hear me?
Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
You will be connected now.
The recording has started.
Please announce yourself.
Dr. Jesse Walker. Hello, everyone. Can you all hear me?
Hello. Yes. Hello.
Okay.
But there's an echo.
Okay. So, how about now? There's still an echo?
An echo.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why. All right, how about now? Hello?
Say something else. That's better.
Okay, good. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 to 75 minutes. We want to welcome everybody tonight to tonight's broadcast. Let's go ahead and start welcoming our international minister himself, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us.
Well, it's always good to be on the show, and I tell you, I always have a great spirit of anticipation and so much things that we can learn. We can provide, but we can also learn from my Blog Talk Radio team. So it's just great to be on the show and listening to a very interesting topic tonight.
All right, we're certainly going to ask you to stand by. Let's go ahead and bring in Sparkles. Sparkles, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us.
Good evening, Dr. Washington, and the listening audience. I am looking forward to tonight's topic and the various perspectives.
All right, excellent. Let's go ahead and welcome Mimi to tonight's broadcast. Mimi, welcome.
Good evening, Dr. Walker, and everyone. I am ready for the show.
Okay. Dima Flair, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. I'm ready for this show, and great spring day.
Okay, excellent. Ricky to the Rescue, thank you for joining us.
Hello, and good evening, everyone. I'm looking forward and another opportunity to be here.
Excellent. Let's see if we've got let's see if we have Candlestick. Candlestick, are you with us tonight? All right, perhaps Candlestick is joining us momentarily. Let's go ahead and welcome Ms. J. Ms. J, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, everyone, and I'm glad to be back on the show to talk about several podcast partners tonight, so I'm ready for it. Enjoy the show.
All right, excellent. Do we have Cassandra with us tonight? Okay, you can certainly let us know when she comes on board. Thank you so very much for that. Tonight's topic, if you're just joining us, we want to reflect on tonight's broadcast. It's going to be a very good one tonight. Yes.
Can I say something right quick?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm gonna get some real prayers out to the people that died on the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, and get some special prayers out to their families.
Okay, we will certainly do that. We will certainly do that. We can pause right now if you want to and say a prayer for those families.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor Rowe, would you do the honors of giving a prayer for those people that who lost their loved ones in that bridge that collapsed? Pastor Rowe, are you in listening mode? All right, Demon Slayer, let's
have it. Well, thank you so much. You tell that our Father, once again, we come before you, Lord, and we go through difficulties, Lord, but you said, let not our hearts be troubled, even living godly, for in me, you said, my Father's house, we have many mansions. And Lord, we just come right now, as our Blog Talk Radio team and family, praying for those that have lost loved ones, Lord. And we know on many occasions, earth loss can be helping us gain, Lord, and they could be going to a better place. But, Lord, all things, we say, work together for good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And so we just pray with our team. That's a special prayer of comfort, Lord, for those that have believed. And we've gone through bereavements, Lord. But we know that you are a burden bearer, and we know, Lord, that you provide comfort for those that are in need. And we always just give thanks, Lord. You're too wise to make a mistake, Lord. And but we pray especially for the family that you're a God that will wipe away all tears, Lord. And we just pray for the families and be with them and give them the comfort, Lord, that only you can give, because you are the Lord, our shepherd, and we shall not want. And you lead us into still waters and beside into green pastures. So we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much for that, Pastor Rowe. We certainly do appreciate that. And Demon Slayer for bringing that up. Thank you so very much. Let's go ahead with, we're going to have Ms. Jay come in just momentarily and give us our disclaimer for tonight. But just before she does that, Sparkles, I'm going to have you come in and give us an update on the drawings that we've initiated. It's been changed slightly, so you all please adhere to what she's about to say. Please, Sparkles.
Okay, good evening, everyone. So I know last week we started on March 21st the co-host incentive, and we first said it would be if you could participate two out of the five programs. That is some change. This is only going to be four programs, so Thursday, Friday, and also no Saturday program will be included in that. So once again, the incentives are for the co-host and all stuff. Every time that you are on the show, I'm taking attendance. Have your name written down. Your name goes into the drawing. So tomorrow is the last drawing, and then the pot will be shaken up, and there will be a winner announced tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll see tomorrow. And also, and that will continue on. So it will be every time that you're on the show, you must participate. You can't say your name and go into listen mode. You have to participate in order for your name to go into the pot. And all. And then the second incentive that we're doing, as far as I am saying, that invite a friend, invite a family member to listen. So if you can invite two people to come and listen in on the show, they must announce their name and who invited them. That's all. And then they can just stay and list them over. They must announce their name and who invited them so that your name can go into that drawing. And that will run for a whole month. Okay, so March 21st through April the 21st. Everyone clear? Any questions? Okay, so those are the slight changes that were made and all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to be the first winner of the gift card. Lord willing, we see you tomorrow.
All right, excellent. Thank you for that, Sparkle. So my understanding is every time they're on the show and they participate, their name goes in each time of the four times. So if they're on three times, it goes in three times in that same pot.
That is absolutely correct.
All right. And then that means after the fourth drawing, which would be tomorrow night, then you start all over again. Every name comes out and you start all over again for the next four times. Is that right?
That is correct, Dr. Walker.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for that. Ms. Jay, we'll have you come in and give us a disclaimer for tonight's broadcast.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. show, various shows, are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. We are here solely to address tonight's topic based on your own individual subjective opinion, and that opinion does not make the individual less than a believer. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you and enjoy the program tonight.
All right, excellent. We're so grateful to all of you all for your contributions and your time spent with any of our programming. Let's go ahead first tonight. When you hear sound advice, do you listen and adhere to it? First, I want to go to Rick to the Rescue. Rick to the Rescue, when people say sound advice, are they talking about like music or something, somebody is shouting out, hey, watch out over there? I mean, sound advice, well, what do they mean by sound advice?
I think a lot of people can probably look for a logical explanation, but oftentimes people like to hear what worked before. So it sounded right. They want to hear something that was proven and it worked for someone else.
Okay. Ms. Jay, when somebody gives you their unsolicited opinion, they're giving you their opinion and they're thinking that is advice and you didn't even ask them for it. Do you really want to listen to them?
Well, yeah, I got off mute. If it has been a continuous pattern, I'm going to listen to you. And, I'm trying to be polite with people, you know, because sometimes people talk to you, you know, if you're talking about something, you might just want to vent and not really want any advice. And I'll listen to you, and I said, well, thank you, but I've got it covered, appreciate it, you know, and to let them know that I appreciate it, but I really don't need advice from you. But if they continuously do it, then, you know, you get in another scope then where you got to kind of let them know. You know, I really don't care to hear from you what you have to say.
Okay, so Ms. Jay, has there ever been a time when someone has said to you, you know, I didn't really ask for your advice or your help. You know, can you, like, stay out of my business, my stuff?
You know, people have verbally said it, but I have, you know, because people get trying to put their little tushin in. Body expression or their facial expression or they know communication with me, let me know that they don't want to hear what I got to say.
So,
when I see that, I just let go.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. Mimi, let me bring you in here. Mimi, do you ever give people, do you try to fix people's stuff and they just get annoyed with you because you're trying to fix it? Nobody asked you to fix it in the first place.
No, I need to fix my own stuff before I can fix somebody else's. But I do listen to people, and
if they ask me for advice, I may give it to them, you know, if it's something that I can help them with, but just automatically start telling the person, giving them advice, I think that's kind of rude. No, they just may want you to hear them out, and that's it. Just listen to them, be a sounding block for them, that's it. But no, I don't give advice. I don't.
So are you saying that you've never given advice, unsolicited or otherwise?
Unsolicited, no. I really don't. I listen to a person. If they ask me my opinion, then I will share my opinion. But actually, to give somebody advice, I think you need their permission first because they may not want it.
So, Mimi, you're telling me that you have – are you telling me that you have actually never butted into somebody's affair and gave your unsolicited opinion? You have never done that?
Only my children. Only my children. That's it. No, I don't.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Sparkles, let me bring you in here. Sparkles, do you give your opinion often?
I unsolicited.
Unsolicited.
I try not to. I try to be careful not to, but I'm sure I probably have slipped a time or two, to be honest with you and all that stuff. Depending on what the topic is, what's going on, and everything like that. And I probably have, to be honest.
Okay, you have. And how did that make you feel when you did something like that?
Well, after I reflect back on it and everything like that, I'm like, maybe they didn't. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything at all. Maybe I should have just been quiet. And if they had asked me or whatever, but it was just like in conversating, like one friend to another or whatever, or a family member or whomever I was talking with. But I try to be careful now not to give any kind of advice and all that stuff like that.
All right. Okay, we're going to actually stand by. We're going to go to tonight's story. Tonight's characters are Zena and Alan. Tonight's topic, of course, is when you hear sound advice, do you listen? That's the first step. And then do you adhere to it? And I know we're going to say that we have two ears and one mouth, and perhaps it was required of us to do more listening than speaking. But in tonight's forecast, Zena and Alan, they've been married just over a year. They're both in their mid-20s and have not started a family yet. Now, prior to getting married, neither of them discussed the prospect of starting a family or even buying a house. Now that their lease is up in the apartment of which they are living, Zena insists on getting the house large enough to accommodate their future when they start having children. Alan, on the other hand, feels they need to maintain a serious budget and stay within their means and not purchase anything over $200,000. But Zena feels that a home budget of $200,000 would not get them the space that she did. that she desires to have for their future. Alan feels that a three-bedroom, one-bathroom situation will be fine as a startup home. And Zena totally disagrees and thinks that they should invest in a five-bedroom, three-bath home with land where the children can play as they grow up. Okay, this is what she's thinking. She feels that a home budget of $500,000 should be sufficient for the right home for them. They both, their annual joint income is just over $150,000. So together, they're making about $150,000 combined. The discrepancy of their home purchase agreement has caused a great deal of strife in their marriage to the point that Zena is pleading with Alan to at least seek the advice of a financial advisor coupled with getting some marital counseling in the process to keep their relationship on course because they've gotten out of control with this disagreement. Now comes the serious problem. Alan refused to get advice of any kind from anyone because he has this attitude that he can learn everything he needs to know by way of artificial intelligence, YouTube, Facebook, or Google. Furthermore, he does not want anyone to tell him what they think he should do about anything. Recently, Zena, because of his attitude and narcissistic behavior, she left Alan and moved in with a girlfriend because it really bothered her that Alan was in his mindset. It's been 3 months now, and Alan really misses his wife and pleads with her to come back to him. She has communicated with him briefly and indicates that she will give consideration to coming back only if he will agree to them getting marital counseling and him being more open to listening to other professionals who may be in a position to help them with other important situations and circumstances, including the financial situation. Without hesitation, Alan has genuinely jumped to the opportunity to do so if it means getting the love of his life back into his life. 6 months later, Alan and Zena are back together into the home that Zena has chosen, which brings brightness to the saying, happy wife, happy life. Alan is a changed man who now realizes the mistakes he's made over not listening to the right people when they offer sound advice. So, Rick DeRescue, I want to go to you. I mean, did it really take the love of his life to leave him? I mean, is that fair to do? Like, the woman, you know, she knows the man loves her, and she going to leave him knowing how, not even understanding how painful it is to this man to trying to be out here surviving without the love of his life. You think that that's a fair tactic, even though he wasn't listening to anybody for anything?
Yeah, so if it worked by any means, it would be a good idea. I'm always looking at sustainability, though. I feel like when that happens sometimes, it's okay for a certain period of time. And then, you know, often people revert back to what their primary feelings are about something. And so I'm just thinking about sustainability. When he reverts back to thinking a certain kind of way, because when you're looking at those finances and when there's, like, considering inflation and other things of that sort, like, what's going to happen moving in the future?
All right. We're going to actually stand by. Excuse me. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, is it fair? He set a budget for $200,000, a three-bedroom, one bath, would be okay for a startup home. Well, to get her way, she didn't agree with him and said, hey, we need at least $500,000 for when the children come. I mean, they're in their mid-20s. Should she be thinking ahead like that? And is that fair that she leaves him to get her way, Miss J?
Number one, that was not fair for her to get her way. Y'all just started together, so it's going to take time to understand each other's ways of budgeting and handling money. And talking about Alan needs to seek a financial advisor, I'm going to reverse that. Because to me, it seems like Zena needs to seek some help because she's not thinking clearly. You know, they only make $150,000 a year right now. Most small companies start a home. Then you get your money together. By the time you have your kids, you can get that five-bedroom home that she wants. So I think she's the one that needs to be talking to somebody with some good advice versus Alan. Even though he don't want to listen to nobody, he'll think of a little clearer.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let me go over here and bring in Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, as a man, if the woman decides that to get her way, knowing that you love her, and she leaves to get her way, is that kind of a form of manipulation?
Hey, if she want to leave, just let her leave. The way I see it is that she's already planning on leaving before she even told you. So for you to just stay there and just converse with her and talk about why you're leaving and all that, that's all minute. You know, just show her the door and open the door for her.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let's go over here. Candlestick, did you come in tonight? I don't think she did. Donna? Okay. Darren Didi? All right. Mimi, let me go over here to you and bring you in here, Mimi, with this question also. I mean, when you hear sound advice, do you think, I mean, here it is. Alan wasn't interested in hearing any sound advice. I mean, do you want to have a spouse that will not even listen to sound advice from anybody saying, he can get his information from artificial intelligence, from Google, from YouTube, you know, or from Facebook. I mean, is that really realistic?
No, I don't think so. But I'm just the way I gather it, listening to this scenario, is men think different than women will. She's thinking about her, you know, having kids, her biological clock, but he's looking at being a provider. He doesn't want to get in over his head to where he cannot provide for his wife the proper way. I agree with him more so than her. Because you have to think beyond, you know, I want a big house. You can get a big house, but you can get it later. You're just getting started. So he's looking at provision. She's looking at more so luxury.
Okay. So, but Mimi, a three-bedroom, one bath? A three-bedroom, one bath? I mean, you think she wants to be in there?
Three-bedroom, maybe a bath and a half. But one bath, I don't agree with one. I've never seen a three-bedroom house with one bath. So I guess she exists. I don't know.
Okay, well.
She should have two baths or bath and a half.
Okay, all right. Ricky to the Rescue, I want to bring you back in here now. Ricky to the Rescue, I mean, is he wrong for his thinking? Is she wrong for her thinking? Remember, he's talking about a 3-1. She's talking about a 5-3. He's talking about 200,000. She's talking about 500,000. I mean, couldn't there be a compromise in there somewhere along the way instead of her jumping to the extreme of just leaving him? But then at the same time, it almost seems justified that he don't want to listen to anybody. So, I mean, what is she supposed to do? It sounds like he could be controlling our dictator. Rick, the Rescue, your thoughts.
Well, in making that behavior change in general, sometimes it takes something drastic for any type of thing to change. And I know he appears to be stuck in his ways. And unfortunately, that may be the only thing that could wake him up in this situation. And, you know, she has her perspective as well. And so, you know, he could have done something drastic as well to try to help her see his point. I think they're on two opposite ends, and I really feel like it's hard to compromise when neither one wants to give ground. And so I'm kind of going back to what I was saying a little bit earlier. Well, I'm still kind of concerned for him to go back and say, happy life, happy wife.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we tell ourselves that we're happy and we're okay, and we're really not. And so if he was that dogmatic about what he was thinking before, I just don't see that disappearing.
Okay. Very good point. Very good point. Miss J, I want to bring you back to me. So, Miss J, here we have it. So, happy, I mean, how do you feel about that, Miss J? That phrase there, happy wife, happy life. Is that fair for a man, really, Miss J?
Well, for me, I think it's fair if you have compromise. I don't think no one should be overbearing and take charge in a marriage situation, you know. So if you compromise and you can make that wife happy, that's a great thing, you know.
Right.
But if you just want to overpower her and don't care, or even you get in knowing you're going to suffer, or your family may be destroyed, and you make it, you know, it don't make sense, you know, to me.
Okay.
And to me, a woman that feels like, you know, because now she wants a $500,000 home, and I'm kind of agreeing with what Rick was saying in a way. Another year from now, what is she going to ask for? So, you know, they really need to get together on the financial advice. Because it seems like she's one of the women that always want a whole lot of stuff. But she's a high maintenance type woman.
Okay. Or materialistic,
and
right?
Saying, okay, with our budget, let's see what we can do so we grow from that. You know, talk about that thing.
Okay. That's an interesting perspective. So we're talking about when you hear sound advice, do you listen? Ms. J, do you really think people listen to sound advice? Do they really listen to sound advice? And then tell me,
you know,
in your opinion, what sound advice is. What is sound advice?
You know, it's supposed to be good for your particular problem that could really help you in that situation. My thought on that is, I would listen to you, and a lot of times it might be sound advice, but is it good for my situation? Sometimes people think their sound advice is good for every situation, but not necessarily. I look at it, and I put it in the basket with my other sound advice to see what works best for me. But if you give me some sound advice, and you got worse problems than I got, and you say this is sound advice, I ain't listening to you. Because you can't tell me nothing when you got worse problems than I'm talking about. So, you know, before you get your facts from.
All right.
Because it can sound while you're not doing better. But people go to giving advice and they ain't doing no better.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky to the rescue. I mean, who listens to sound advice? Even if they're paying you as a therapist, do the people really listen to the sound advice? And then as a therapist, do you care if they listen to your advice, even though you're getting paid?
Yeah, you know, it's the nature to care. Listen, I don't necessarily, from a professional standpoint, try to give advice per se. It's more so about leading a person so that you can empower them to make the most decision in their life. Now, I will say this, as it just relates to giving advice or even someone listening to you, and I don't know if it's been your experience, Dr. Walker, but the people who's closest to you listen to you the least.
Absolutely.
Stranger, like, you know, they'll go out there, they'll assignments you give them, or, you know, they'll actually listen, but someone who's close to you for whatever reason, they just don't listen a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with you wholeheartedly. The people who are closest to you listen the least. You're absolutely right. They don't, for example, they don't even think that you have that knowledge or skill to share anything with them. And they'd rather go out there and listen to somebody else completely different. So that's a very good point that you've mentioned there. Mimi, I want to bring you, let's just, yes, Ms. J.
Let me say, we got to be very close to you. You try to, you know, in the way they ask you for your advice, and you give it to them, and they don't listen, and they get deeper. They say, well, you know, I told you to do it this way, and they get deeper. My thing is, you know, at some point, you stop giving advice. You know, like you do your kids sometimes, you know, say, hey, you on your own. Stand for yourself. Because I'm trying, and you ain't listening. So you can get frustrated doing that. So my thing is, just forget about them. Because what? They keep not doing it because they know at the end of the day that you're going to take care of them just like a child would, you know. Well, I'm going to mess up because they did it, but I know mama, dad, or whoever's going to be here to kind of pick up the pieces from it. And so people don't listen.
Okay. Excellent point. Very excellent point. Did Candlestick join us tonight? Candlesticks, are you on? Okay, I suppose not. Did we miss any of our other co-hosts? We want to certainly give you all an opportunity for that drawing tomorrow night. Any other co-hosts that we missed out so far? All right, perhaps not. if we did, just chime in and let us know. Sparkles, I want to bring you back in here and ask this question to you, Sparkles. Sparkles, what is sound advice? If you were to give somebody the definition of sound advice, what would that be?
I would say it's meaningful and factual. Don't be just saying something, you know, and stuff like that. It's anything factual, anything meaningful.
Okay, so when you say
they got some kind of experience behind what they're sharing or whatever. Even better. I wouldn't want somebody telling me something about marriage or a relationship issue and they've never been married or had any kind of relationship issue. I mean, I would maybe with it, but I'd be very skeptical. Like, how do you know? You haven't gone through that.
Okay. All right. We're going to certainly ask you, Sam. We got a bunch of comments that have come into the studio tonight, and we're going to get to those in just a moment. I want to go back up here. I believe Pastor Rowe may be in listening mode. If not, Pastor Rowe, let us know. Let me go.
Yes. Just listening. You know, I'm on, you know, I'm just doing, two husband and wife coming together. You know, let's talk about this thing. You know, Scripture say, come, let us reason together. You know, look at the pros and the cons. Look at, the probability and perspectives. You know, you don't want to, you know, jump in the water too deep and lose your house because the economic situation is around. But you know, I just think it's just not the wife in charge or the husband in charge. You know, both of you just come together. Let's talk about this thing and discuss it. You know, and pray about it, you know, and, you know, God does answer things through prayer. We can just come together and get self out of the equation. So that's my thoughts on that. Come and just let's talk about it. That's my perspective on that, Dr. Walker.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Roe. Cassandra sent a message that she won't be joining us tonight. She says to tell everyone hello. So we'll speak to her when she does call back in perhaps tomorrow night. Okay, Demon Slayer, I want to go to you right now and ask a question. So here we are. I know you said earlier that if Gina wants to leave him, just let her go. But can you really just turn love off, you know, just like that? Demon Slayer, what do you think?
The way I look at it is that, you have two perspectives. You have one of him, he's talking about $300. She's talking about buying $1,000. Okay, she's talking about buying $1,000, it's going to get bigger. So you're thinking of a lower number, you can't work yourself out. I mean, sometimes truth is hard, man. I mean you're going in two different directions sometimes. You get to see it before it even happened. I mean, sometimes you can find out like 1 or 2 years later that, okay, you talking about another astronomical number, and then you have to find out like 2 or 3 years later instead of just being blunt with it right then. I mean, truth is a hard thing to fathom sometimes.
Okay, we're going to certainly ask you that, but we're going to start taking some of the comments that are certainly coming to the studio this evening. We have a number of them. When you hear sound advice, do you listen and then adhere to it? Before we get to those, Mimi, I want to ask you the question. When you heard sound advice, are you really listening? And then do you take it a step further and adhere to that sound advice?
It all depends on what it is. I just don't listen to anybody. But if it's something pertaining to, if I'm asking them for the advice, then yes, I will. But if it's, they just unsolicited, which I depend, because if I didn't ask you for your advice, I really don't want to hear it.
Okay, so let's say you have a marital problem. Let's just hypothetically say that. And then you have a family member or a close friend, a sister, for example, who says, girl, I would just hang in there and just tolerate that, and then I would do my thing on the side with me and another man. I mean, how would you perceive that?
I would turn a deaf ear to that, literally.
But it's
and
she went on further to say, because you know these to be a fact, like Sparkles identified sound advice as something factual, say the man is really good to you, he takes care of all the bills, you don't have to pay a bill in the house. And so he's just not into you like you want him to be into you. He likes to watch sports 24/7 if he could. And he's retired. And all of a sudden now, you know, you're not happy because you're not a happy wife, happy life, so to speak. So your girlfriend or your sister says to you, listen, girl, just hang in there. Do your thing on the side. Don't worry about him. You don't pay no bills. What do you think? Is that sound advice?
No, that is some sound advice. I could pay my own bills, and that's how I would look at it. That's what I would tell them. I don't need a man to pay my bills for me. I need my husband to celebrate. We could celebrate each other, love each other, but if you just want to sit and do nothing and I'm unhappy, obviously he's unhappy if he's not taking advantage of me as far as being his wife. You just want to watch TV, something has to change. No, I would not stay in that situation. Change would have to come.
Okay, we're going to ask you.
I would tell them I don't suicide because they're on the outside looking in. They really don't know anything.
All right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Sparkles, I want to bring you in here. Sparkles, same scenario here. I mean, happy wife, happy life. If you don't have to pay any bills and he's just not into you and he likes his sports. You know, I mean, he's a good-looking man. I mean, you know, so, I mean, if you, one day he might change, you know, so would you just hang in there? If your friend or your sister told you, girl, just do your own thing, get your little boyfriend on the side, what would you do, Sparkles? You ain't paying no bills.
It doesn't matter if I'm not paying any bills, you know, and stuff like that. That's wrong. I wouldn't listen to that. Advice that they are telling me, because that's creating a whole nother problem. And all that like that and all. So how is that even sound from the beginning and stuff like that and all that stuff? So, no, I wouldn't listen to it.
You listen.
I wouldn't leave my spouse and all that stuff like that, but I would try to encourage us to get some help or whatever and all, but then if he likes sports, I would join him at times or whatever, but then again, I would go and find girl stuff to do with my girls, not trying to find some boyfriend on the side. Mm-hmm.
Well, why you got to say it like that, Marcus? Some boyfriend on the side. Why you got to say it like that? Miss J, why? You know, I mean, why people got to say it like that, Miss J? In your opinion, like some boyfriend on the side, like some boyfriend on the side, like he ain't supposed to be human. I mean, come on, give a brother a chance. Okay, what's the other way then, Miss J? What's the other way? No, you said, what's the other way, Miss J? Not a boy. Some boyfriend on the side.
This is Miss J.
Jack and Jill went up the hill, and Jack hit upside the head. Jill's got 5 brothers, and her father's still alive. Jill shouldn't tell her brothers or her father, because that happened inside their house.
Number 1, Jill. Stupid Jill, this one knocked out her head.
That was Mimi saying he wouldn't be when she finished with him. Miss Jay, what are you saying? All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Ricky to Rescue, we have this. Yes. Yes, sir, Pastor Rose.
Financial advice, that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, that's that's what Gina was trying to get Alan to subscribe to talk with a financial advisor. But he had this ego about him that he didn't want to talk to anybody about anything. He figured he, yeah, yeah. So I think that that's a good point that you mentioned, Pat Rove. And I don't think Gina was so wrong for wanting that. Rick, I want to bring you in here with your comments on this here. Men, from a therapeutic perspective, I see men are always, they're kind of like pleasers, providers, protectors, and pleasers. We want, because the woman, in my opinion, now you all, this is just my humble opinion, the women are the prize. You know, if we can get to them, if I can get you to smile and everything, you know, I get your attention, then I might have a chance at dating you. You might give me your phone number. You're the prize. We want you. And so with that wanting or desiring you, we want to try to like, okay, can I take, Miss J, I'm going to put this to you and then I'm going to come back to Rick to rescue. So Miss J, if I'm pursuing you, I might be like, can I take you to Burger King, McDonald's or Wendy's or Chick-fil-A, you know, for our first outing to go out on a date on a Saturday night. Miss J, which one are you going to pick?
What age are we now?
Let's say we're in our 30s. Miss J, brother don't make a whole lot of money. I'm trying to take you to get something to eat. Chick-fil-A is very expensive, Miss J. So I offered you four choices, Miss J. Four choices. Come on now. My life, which you don't know, and I'm saying this is my first date. I'm fixing up myself up, looking real good. Got on some nice cologne and everything. And I'm like, I'm taking you out in my car. My car is 15 years old, but still, I got a car. And so now I'm coming to you, and it's like, hey, I think I'm looking pretty good. And so I say, listen, I got four choices, and which one? Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, or Chick-fil-A? Miss J, come on now, come on, Miss J.
Okay. So, you know, if we're equally yoked as far as the fact that, yeah, I'll go out with you. But if I'm, you know, I mean, that's a real life.
And then I say to you, Miss J, listen, you know, I had a kind of, I had to pay rent this week. So I'm going to ask you in a very loving way, can you, like, not get anything past 12 hours, please? Okay. Miss J, I love it that you say we'll go Dutch. Miss J, thank you. Miss J, would you go out with me the second time? And as I say, hey, we can do this again. Will you go out next week with me and we go Dutch again?
You know, if you're a good communicator and I had fun, yeah, I would.
Okay.
You know, because he'll just be my little Burger King or Chick-fil-A buddy. Yeah.
So you're saying you might not get in a serious relationship with the guy?
Oh, no. This is, like I said, it depends on the status of, you know, whatever number you in or whatever. You know, this is all I'm
Okay, go ahead, Demon Slayer.
That's just too late. He makes me a rich guy. You're talking about status. He's trying you with Burger King, Chick-fil-A, and McDonald's or whatever.
Right.
He's on a whole other status. And he's just trying to see how you going to come with it. He's usually going to a five-star restaurant. He's just trying you with a McDonald's or a Burger King to see how you're going to be at to what you say.
That's a good point.
I ain't a female chick. I'm
thinking that, but you're thinking that you got status, but he's got the real status.
Listen to sound advice. It's just like with the scenario we just gave, giving the woman the four choices for the first date. I mean, if you're in your mid-30s now and the guy, this is the best he can do, in your opinion, Ricky's a rescue, and the woman came to you and she says, I can't believe this here. I'm in my 30s. I'm established. He likes me, but he's offering to take me out on a first date to one of these four places, seriously, on a Saturday night? Reason rescue, what would you tell her?
It's interesting. They won't have their standard. And, you know, in situations when it comes to people trying to impress each other,
right.
You know, it's always, I don't want to say always, but it can often be an exaggeration. Because especially if you're going out for the first time, if I'm going somewhere and I'm showing you where I go on a regular basis, you should really appreciate that I'm showing you me. Because if I go and I go overdraft my account and I take you somewhere, I know you're in my budget, I'm really putting you in a position to be a part of the problem that I'm having. And I don't think people appreciate other people being authentic in that matter, because people would rather be impressed then rather just appreciate what's really in front of them. Because even if that's in the situation in which we're talking about,
right.
You know, if that's the best that he can do, at least you can say, well, you know what, this is something I can do, or this is something I can't do. But if he goes out there and do something and it gives you an opinion of him,
uh-huh.
And you think he can maintain that and he doesn't,
right.
It's going to create a bigger issue. And even in looking at the scenario that we're talking about, they're making a major purchase. So there are going to be some lifestyle changes. So if he started taking you to a five-star restaurant, and now you're compromising it by making him get a more expensive house, you may start going to Chick-fil-A. And so it worked both ways, because money is just not going to keep, you know, duplicating itself. You have to look within what's actual realistic. And so from both ways, you have to look at it from that perspective, because and often when a man is trying to impress a woman and he's taking her out, okay, on the flip side of it, what is the woman doing to impress the man? And so you have to think about it from that perspective as well, because it's what's going to make him say, I need to take you to a five-star restaurant to even begin with.
Okay. Very good point. Ms. J, did you have a comment or contribution to that?
That's a great point. Well, you know, I agree that, you know, because on the first date, I'm not looking for nobody to go all out the way for me, you know. I don't care go on a first date going to get coffee.
Okay.
It don't really matter. But if that's where he wants to take me, you know, I was joking before, but I would go with it.
Right. Uh-huh.
He might not be what I'm looking for as the companionship. You know, that's based on all I'm seeing, you know. And if he...
if we get to talking and I find out that this is where you want to go, then be you or whatever. But it don't really matter to me because I'm not a materialistic person. So as far as I think, you know, you should find out what the person can do or cannot do anyway before you even go out to date with them. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to put nobody out where they're spending all that money, like Ricky said, and then next week they ain't got enough money for the house. No. So, you know, I want them to be genuine and take me where they wanted to take me. But if that's not what I'm used to, I'm not going to lower my steps.
Right, right.
You know, not saying you're better, but I would go with you then, but I don't know whether I continuously, you know, keep doing that. That's
right.
All I was saying.
So, Ms. Jane, but is it possible to find out how... These other comments, we're just about out of time. Who would like to close us out tonight? And is it okay if we go an extra 12 to 15 minutes, you all? Is that okay? Okay. Who would like to close us out tonight? Okay, while you're thinking about it, perhaps you'll decide as we go on. We've got a number of comments to cover tonight. We want to welcome Candlesticks to us tonight. Candlesticks, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us as well.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize for being late. I tried to get in here on whatever minutes I have
left. We certainly do appreciate you being here. We're going to go to some of the comments tonight. If you're just joining us, you all, tonight's topic, when you hear sound advice, do you listen and adhere to it? So we're going to take some of the comments, and just before we run out of time, we're going to go with Mimi, we're going to give you this first one. This male writes in, he says, I used to give what I thought was sound advice to people and came to the realization that people don't always want your unsolicited advice, just as you all mentioned in tonight's broadcast. It could prove to be a waste of your time and theirs. Mimi, do you think it's a waste of time to give unsolicited advice?
I do. It is a waste because a person may not even want to give you advice. And they're just, like I said, venting or just want to have someone to listen to them and may not even want your advice.
All right.
It's a waste of time.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Candlestick, I want to bring you in here. Candlestick, have you ever given what you thought was sound advice to help somebody else and it turns out to be it worked against you for running your mouth into their business?
Yes, it did. And this is when I was in high school, and I'll never forget it. I had a girlfriend whose boyfriend tried to talk to me. So I felt like me and my girlfriend were good. So I went and told her what happened, and she actually turned against me. And I was so hurt because I was just thinking I was doing her a favor. So after that, I do not give unsolicited advice because it will backfire on you. I learned my lesson early. If someone asks my opinion, I would give it, but to just off the bat to give someone an opinion on something.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Sparkle, I'm going to give you this next one here. We're going real fast, you all. This female, she writes in, she says, I saw my brother-in-law holding hands going into a hotel room with another woman, and he was kissing her affectionately as they went into the room. I'm contemplating whether or not to tell my sister, who he's married to and claims to love her, but never takes her out. Now I want to know, she says, I want to know Miss J's opinion as well as Sparkles and Ricky's Rescue. She wants to know your all opinion. Should she tell? Let's start with you, Sparkles. She wants to know what you think. Quickly here.
I wouldn't say anything. No, I would not. I would not get into that.
You wouldn't tell your sister?
I wouldn't say anything. I would not get into that. I would tread very lightly on that.
Would you still love your brother-in-law the same?
Would I still what?
Love your brother-in-law the same.
I would have to feel good. It would be good feeling.
Uh-huh.
Stuff like that. About my brother-in-law.
So when you think your sister would pick up on that you're acting strange when you're at a family function and you're acting strange towards her husband, wouldn't she suspect something?
She probably would and all that stuff like that, but only maybe if she would ask. But then again, I would be very careful as to what I would say to her.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go to her and tell her. No matter how much I would want to, I would stay out of that.
All right. We're going to ask you that by Miss J, and then we'll go to Rick's Rescue. Yeah. She wants to know what you think, Miss J. Should she tell her sister? Miss J? All right. Perhaps Miss J is
okay. Okay. Can you hear me? Yeah. Before I go to my sister, I want to make sure that I understand why he was there. I would go to my brother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
And I'll let him know I saw him. And you need to explain to me why you was in a hotel. Like, they use another job, or were you in a Bible study, or what were you doing? And if he can't explain, you can find out and whatever. I'm going to give him the opportunity to tell my sister-in-law. And, no, I would not let him keep going. If he don't tell him, I'm going to have to do something because that's my sister.
All right.
And if he's really, destroying their marriage, yeah.
Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by. So, Ricky to Rescue. I mean, she wants to know what you think.
I want to make sure that you can give the actual question again.
Yes, this young lady, she saw her brother-in-law going to a hotel holding hands with a woman, another woman that was not his wife, not her sister. And he was kissing her affectionately as they went into a room. Now she wants to know, should she tell her sister what she saw? That the sister's husband is in a room with a woman whom he kissed affectionately going into the room. She wants to know your opinion, your advice, your sound advice.
So, my instinct would be, that would be my instinct. Sometimes you may just, instinctively do something before you actually sit down and think about it. But I will say this, in situations like that, you would be surprised, but I'm pretty sure if it was my sister, she knows, she probably knows something already going on anyway.
Okay.
So just to have a conversation with her, to check on her, to see how she's doing, at some point, she may even open up and you can kind of share that, but it has to be some type of invite as well, because when you just come to people with information, it could be received differently. Some people can say, oh, you just hate, some people can say, why you in my business? Like, people are real sensitive about sensitive subjects, so I think you have to be very careful in how you even approach that whole situation.
All right, so she wants to, she's listening to you because she sent that in. So your sound advice is to tell, even in a...
I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all or one way you have to do it, because there's things you have to consider. You have to consider, the personality of your sister. You have to kind of consider your interaction with her, because the thing of it is, as an example, let's just say I don't talk to my sister on a regular basis, and then I just call her up all of a sudden and say, hey, guess what? I saw you. That seems more like gossiping than being messy. But if I have a relationship with my sister and I actually speak to her on a consistent basis and we talk about things, this conversation, not the specific conversation and details related to it, but infidelity may have came up before. That's an easier conversation to go back and tell your sister. So I really feel like it depends on the relationship that you have with her.
Okay. All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by. We got a few more comments that have come in here. We got a few more comments. And anybody decide that they want to close us out tonight? When you hear sound advice. Okay, Ms. Chase. All right. Thank you for that. We'll give you time to prepare your thoughts. All right. We're going to go to Mimi. Let's bring you in here with this question here, Mimi. We're going to bring you in here now. And that question becomes now, this female, she writes in, she says, as a therapist, I find it necessary and important to listen to the issues of my clients. There are times when I give my advice, which is what I'm paid to do. I find that clients don't even adhere to that. I realize that people have to come to their own understanding of how to fix their own situations when they're ready to take action, just as Ricky the Rescue has presented in tonight's forum. What do you think about that?
What do I think about?
That people have to come to their own realization to fix their own stuff.
That is true. That is true, because you could give someone advice, and if they're not ready to receive or receive it to make change, you're just wasting your time giving them advice. They have to really want the change and then act upon it.
All right.
If they don't, then you're just talking, and they're not really they're not ready to make change, or they're not adhering to what you're saying.
All right. Okay. Attorney Marilyn, did you want to make a comment, or are you just listening mode? All right. Perhaps she's in listening mode. Let's go over here now to Sparkles. Let's bring you in here now with this next comment. This male, he says, I'm the kind of person who likes to stand on my own, but I'm willing to accept advice from someone to help my situation. I don't always agree with everything that's said to me, but I'm open to new ideas. What do you think about that? He's open to new ideas. Is that reasonably stated in your opinion?
It is, and that was great. He's not closed-minded, but he's willing to be open and listen and possibly, you know, look at things in a different way. I think that's good. We should all be like that, actually.
Okay, we're almost out of time here. Let's go over, before Ms. Jay closes out, let's go over here. Dina Slayer, let's bring in a female. She says, it cost my husband and I our marriage because my husband thought he knew everything and did not want anyone to tell him anything, just like Alan in tonight's story. As a result, it cost us serious financial ruins that ultimately led to our divorce. Now I'm on my own, making much better decisions, making my own sound advice to myself. What do you think of that?
Sometimes when you're up in a dictatorship, you got to see how they rule, and then you got to go on your own. I applaud her on doing her own thing. Sometimes you got to just go alone, do your own thing when you're up in a dictatorship, because it can lead the wrong way.
All right. Candlesticks, are you still with us? Yes, go ahead. Pass Rose.
Okay, well, you know, like what you said, new ideas. You know, if she's open to new ideas, that's an excellent opportunity to introduce people to the Blog Talk Radio show, because we always have ideas. And he just said he was open. So, you know, we have to find the opportunity to invite people where they can restore relationships and improve relationships and build relationships. You know, so that thought just came to me. We should use every opportunity to introduce people to the Blog Talk Radio show where they can get their problems solved. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that commercial break. And, in fact, we're going to give Ricky the Rescuer a commercial break in just a moment. We're almost out of time. Let's go with some data, 30-second data from our statistician, Mimi. Mimi, let's give some data on when people hear sound advice, do they listen and then do they adhere to it? Mimi. Perhaps Mimi is on mute for our data report tonight. Let's go to...
I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
as far as giving sound advice, as far as listening for it, as far as a person is giving it what they look, I did a research and from a Lee Miller with the it's in LinkedIn.com. She was saying most people that giving advice, they like to listen for be present in the conversation so you can be fully engaged in what the person is saying so they know that you have their full attention. Validate their emotions when someone is sharing their experience. Be courteous. Listen to them carefully so you can give them the direct advice. And ask open-ended questions. So it's not like you're giving them advice. It's like you're allowing them to really answer their own questions that give them something to think about. So that's how you would address that.
Okay, good. And where can we find that information? LinkedIn somewhere, you said?
It's LinkedIn. It's by Lee Miller. She did a published study on June 13th of 2023.
Okay, very good. Thank you for sharing that information with us. Rick's the Rescue, we want to bring you in here quickly here. We're running out of time. This party writes in this mail. He says, I dated a lady for 2 years who thought she knew everything about everything. After I ended the relationship, it dawned on me why she had already been married four times. This woman clearly got on my last nerves with her behavior and thinking that she knew everything and thought she was always right about it. Now I'm angry with myself for hoping for her to change when I know people don't just change overnight. Rick, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I'm not certainly criticizing her for being married four times. She was trying, to get it right at some point. But now he's mad at himself for hoping that she would change when people don't change overnight. How realistic is that?
Difficult for someone to just change overnight. You typically don't see that. I think it's more so looking at the actual mindset. And that's the most difficult thing to change because even like we were having that discussion about budgeting earlier, if a person has learned to budget a certain kind of way and it works for them, it works for them. And, you know, it's difficult for them to see past that. And so if you had a millionaire to come in as an example and to completely tell them to do something different and take a risk that they never took before because they're not comfortable doing that, or they look at the millionaire like, oh, it's easy for you to do that because you got $1 million, they're missing the mindset shift. And the mindset shift is most important. And so in situations like that, it's important to try to get someone to see the bigger picture instead of looking at what's right in front of them.
All right, very interesting point. Candlestick, are you still with us? All right, perhaps Candlestick is not there. We'll give the final comment. We'll go over here to the final comment and give that one to Sparkles. We're going to give you the final comment. This email, she says, I have a very, and then Ms. J will come in and close us out on tonight's topic. When you hear sound advice, do you listen and adhere to it? This female, Sparkles, she says, I have a very important question for Mr. Oh, she wants Ricky to the rescue to answer this one. Sorry, Sparkles. I have a very important question for Mr. Ricky to the rescue. I feel like I'm stuck in a rut with my marriage because we are having serious marital problems. And my husband feels everything is fine and refuses to get any marital counseling. I am really depressed because he won't listen to anyone, not even people whom I have researched that could help us. We're in financial ruin and don't have a clue on how to get out of it. Help me, please, sir. Rick the Rescue, what would you tell them?
Yeah, so sometimes we try to give advice instead of giving a person what they need. And in situations like that, it's important, I feel, to try to figure out what that person needs. You know, they're going to have a perspective. And I feel this way. I am under the impression that when you're in situations like that, you can try someone else's way of doing something. And so if you can come back to the table and say, okay, how did that work out for us? Because if it's not working out, it's easier to have a conversation and say, okay, let's try something different now because what we've been doing hasn't been working. Because what often happens when you get caught in between thinking I'm right and you're wrong, what happens is it's more so fighting, and there's no mediation or there's no solution or there's nothing in between to help you try to figure out what the true problem is. But to allow both people to have their perspective and try different ways from both ends, it'll help you get to where you're trying to go a whole lot faster.
All right, and then the rescue, thank you for that sound advice. And now, Ms. J, when you hear sound advice, do you listen and adhere to it? Please close it out.
Okay, this was an excellent show tonight. But these are my opinions. No one really has the answer to everything. You know, we can learn, I feel, from experiences and knowledge of others so we don't make the same mistakes. However, I see the danger comes in when we allow someone else advice to become our go-to for everything. Or sometimes it's so stubborn, as in the story tonight, where we have to do it our way or no way for whatever reason that we might have. You know, to have people in our lives that, you know, we can go to for sound advice, that's a great thing, you know. But sound advice, you know, it might not fit everybody. But if you know that that particular advice is a good advice for you with no doubt, no concern, you know it's it, you know, follow it. See how it works out for you. But if you decide not to follow it, you know you have to deal with the consequences from the decision you made from your choice, from your decision. And in advice or decision, it's your choice to take a person's advice or decision or whatever. But at some point, if you have somebody in your life, a caring person, you know, and they keep giving you advice or suggestions, and you're not taking it and you keep failing, at some point, you know, they're going to stop doing it. And I feel, you know, they should stop doing it to let them fend for yourself, you know. But if you have similar problems and situations and a person always coming to you saying, you know, how to take care of it, and they got the same problems, for me, I don't listen to people feel like that. I look for people with knowledge and wisdom on similar things, and they can give me their opinion, and if I don't agree, and I keep researching, I keep asking people. So I always go for your best advice, you know. Don't just settle for what anybody might say to you, because like I said, every advice is not a one fits for all, you know. And advice can't be forced on a person. Don't ever try to do that, you know. A person can only guide you and not force that advice on you. And for us, you know, I know a lot of us sometimes we feel that, you know, the person you kind of hammer it in their head, you know, listen, listen, listen. But if they don't want to listen, they have to deal with it, you know. So everyone will always take your advice. Not everyone will take down advice. So don't let another person be a frustration to you because you're trying to help them, but they're not listening. Because taking advice or doing what you need to do to resolve your problem, it's on that person. So let that person do what they need to do. Let them be them. And you just hope in the long run that they don't come back to you and tell you, you know, I should have listened to you and I should have took your advice. So we hope that no one really has to come back and tell us that after they don't reach rock bottom or whatever. So that's what I want to say for tonight.
Okay, Ms. J, we certainly do appreciate that. And we are out of time. But just before we go, I want to get the consensus of our team here. Tomorrow night, when Sparkles reads the name for the recipient for the gift card, you all want to do it just at about 7:15. She can ring a bell no matter what we're doing. We'll stop and pause at that point unless we're praying, of course. She'll just ring a bell, and we'll know that that's time. And all you would have had to do on that fourth show is just when we welcome you to the show, just say your name, even if that's your contribution for the night, in case you don't in case you have plans that you're out and you want to enjoy your evening, just the fact that you came on and you gave your name, you don't have to be present. In other words, if she sparkles it and you're getting this, they don't have to be like stay on the whole show. They're still eligible for that gift card. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, so the rest of you all, 7:15, is that good to read that no matter what we're doing in case somebody just wants to come by and say hello? And she rings a bell, and we'll stop whatever we're doing so that we can pull that name, and then if you need to go, you go on. Is that okay with you all? Can I get a yay or nay?
Of course.
Yes, Ms. J.
You say we could come on tomorrow night. I won't be on because I'm going to church.
Right.
You say that we come on, and then we just leave
Yeah, that's it. All you got to do, even if you don't, but if you don't. Right. So even if you've already been on, like, say you've been on three or four anyway, your name goes in there three times anyway, even if you don't come on tomorrow night. And then you don't even have to be on the show that night. Let's say if she pulls your name tomorrow night and you're not there, you still get that gift card. Any other questions, you all? Okay, so it's 7:15 okay with everybody for her to read the name? Okay, Rigs and Rescue, you good with that? Okay, I guess you're good. Okay, everybody's good with that. Pastor Roe, you good with that?
Yes, because I might be in a service too, you know, with it being Good Friday.
That's fine.
If I can't make the call, is that okay?
No, you don't even have to. Even if you're not here tomorrow night, if you've already been on the shows, I'm saying, tomorrow night just gives you, okay. Even if you just came in, we say International Pastor Roe, and you say good evening, everybody, and you're gone, that's your fourth time. And that gives you another opportunity. That's all I'm saying. So nobody has it. Go ahead.
That's great.
Okay. All right. We're out of time, you all. Any other questions, anybody, that they may have a question? Sparkles, you got anything else?
I don't.
Okay. All right. All right. Tomorrow night's topic, if you do decide to join us, when you hear the word of God, does it modify or change your behavior? You don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. Listen, when you hear the word of God, does it modify or change your behavior? Listen, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Until tomorrow night or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody. Great closing the show, yes.